Hey, good afternoon. Let's see. So we were talking about this notion of equivalence of sets, which was achieved by having bijections between them. We built a few, but this is the table here of the different sizes of sets that we've observed, size 0, 1, 2, all these integers. The size of the integers themselves, which we called aleph naught, and the size of the real numbers that we called C, for continuum. So the trickiest bit, and so what I'm gonna focus on today, is trying to show that some of these are actually different, okay? And we started to prove the first case of that last time, and I'll finish that up first, and then proceed to show that some of these other things are different. So the key here, again, is gonna be so first, we're going to show that, you know, all of these integers are different from each other, which is the one that we're in the middle of. And then we're going to show that that's different from the set of all integers. In other words, that the set of all integers is infinite and not one of the finite sets. Again, that's not very surprising. It's more of a test that our concept of finite and infinite is good. But then the more interesting fact that we'll get to next is that that these are different. Okay, so the number of elements in the interval from 0 to 1 is different from the number of integers. And then finally, these two facts that when I take all subsets, then I get something that's different. So I'm going to focus on inequivalence today. So inequivalence. Of sets. Okay, and so let me just recall where we were and continue on the where we were. And so we were working on this theorem over here. I guess it's a 5.1.9 in the text. And that was if we have r less than n, then there's no bijection that takes the integers 1 through n to the integers 1 through r. Okay, so just recalling where we were, the strategy was going to be to show that there's no injective map. Okay, so we're trying to show there's no bijective map, so nothing is injective and surjective, and so it'll be enough to show there's no injective map, and then we'll be done. Okay, and then the strategy here was to use induction, all right, and P of n then was supposed to be the proposition that for every r less than n, there does not exist an injective map from n to this smaller set, okay? That was our propositions. Okay, and then we worked out some base steps. We worked out that P1 was true. There's no injective map from the singleton set to the empty set because there are no maps at all. And then we, as long as we're at it, we went and did step two. We didn't really need this, but we did it. Which is that there's no injective map from 1, 2 to either the singleton or to the empty set. Okay, and now we want to continue and do the inductive step. Okay, so any question about where we are now? So next we want to do the inductive step. Step in the proof that P of n which is exactly what's written over there. For all r less than n, there does not exist a map f, which takes the integers 1 through n to the integers 1 through r, which is injective. Okay, so that's where we are. All right, so as usual, for an inductive step, we will assume the this will be a mathematical induction, so we will just assume the n case and prove the n plus one. And the things that I want to use are that are the homework set. So we call this homework problem that said that there is a bijection if we have any element x in nk, then there is a bijection from G mapping in K where we remove that element X to in K minus 1. So that was in particular injected. So that was something we're going to use that was proven in the homework. Okay. All right. So let's try this. So now, if we're going to do induction, the inductive step, we're going to assume previous case, the case n, and then try to prove the case n plus 1. So assume Pn okay. All right, and then we're going to try to choose n plus prove n plus 1. All right, and let's see. So I guess the easiest approach to showing that such a thing does not exist. Actually, can anyone suggest what type of proof might work well to show that something like something does not exist?
Can you repeat the question?
Yeah, I'm wondering what type of technique is likely to be most effective in trying to show that there is no map that has this property. Okay, well, let me suggest that when trying to show that something does not exist, often the best way to do it is by contradiction. So, yeah, there it is in the chat, just as I was saying, right, for a well time. So if we assume that it exists, then we want to find the contradiction. So use contradiction. To show P n plus 1. Okay, so let's try it. So assume for contradiction, that not Pn plus 1. So that, what does that mean? So to be not Pn plus 1, that means that there exists, right? Because Pn plus 1, where did it go? Says that there does not exist something, right? So when we take the not n plus 1, then we just get an exists, right? So so there exists f mapping n plus 1 to nr with injective for with r less than n plus 1. Okay. That's the assumption, and then we're going to try to get a contradiction. All right. Hint. Okay, so here's the main point. Since this is injective, if I look at where the number n plus 1 goes under this map, it's the only thing that goes there. Okay, so if I consider the restriction f restricted to n, right? So I skipped the first one. So it's a restriction. So this is a map from n to, well, nr, but I claim that it misses f of n plus 1. So it actually lands in a minus some singleton x if x is equal to f of n plus 1. So does that make sense? And this is since f was injective. Okay, so that's kind of the trickiest point there. All right, so nothing else goes there. All right, and since we have this map, and since also, this f restricted to n is injective. Okay, and so let's see. So we're almost done here. And now we can use the homework problem, right? So the homework problem tells us that there's a bijection from this nr here to nr minus 1. Nr minus x to nr minus 1. And by homework, There exists a injective map G mapping R NR minus X to NR minus 1, which is injective. Okay, and so we can just combine them. So if I first do a G and then do a F restricted to a N, N, then this is an injective map from, oops, wrong order, apologize. So I want to do first the restriction. Right, I need to go from here to here, and then from here onto there. Right? So I have to do the F restriction first. Okay, and so that'll be a map from N, N to N R minus 1, which is injective. Okay, so we're almost done. And this is about to contradict P N here. And so the only thing to notice is that, let's see, we had, where did it go? There it is, sorry, R less than N plus 1. So I subtract 1 from both sides, and we have R minus 1 is less than N. So this contradicts. So just writing that in the same, oops, in the usual way that we did with our Q. So so there exists G composed F restricted to N N mapping N N to N R minus 1 injective, and R minus 1 less than N, which is contradicts PN. Okay, any questions about that type of proof? So it's the more complicated direction showing that something does not exist. Something does. Okay, so that gives us that these are all different, right? So we have all these sets that are of different cardinalities. Okay, so now let's put that together and get that the integers themselves are infinite. Okay, so so this is, let's see, 5.2.1. And again, I'm spending most of the lecture today on inequivalence. So I'm going to say that if n is an integer, a natural number, then the natural numbers 1 through n are not equivalent to all of the natural numbers. Okay. Another way to say this is that the natural numbers are an infinite set. Okay, so let's do that. So, proof. All right, so let's see. So so actually, what I'd like to do is use this fact over here that we can't get an injective map from this set to something smaller over here. So again, let's try to show that there's no injective map. Okay. All right, and let's see. So, so let's use The previous theorem, so that was 5.9.1, 5.1.9. And that says that there does not exist a map F or G taking anything bigger, so like n, n plus 1, to n, n, which is injective. Okay, and can you see how I would combine those two? How I would make use of this one down here to prove that one up there? The logical structure.
I guess you could say that because I guess the natural numbers in F is larger than N,
mm-hmm.
That it's larger than N plus one.
Mm-hmm. That's essentially the idea, yes. And let me try to phrase it in this way. So here's the way I'm going to try to write it out. Okay, so all right, and let's also then, just like before, let me try to use a contradiction. Okay, so if we're going to use contradiction logically, then what we're going to do is assume we have such a map and get a contradiction. So assume F mapping the natural numbers all to just the ones less than n is injective. Okay, and what I want to do now is get a contradiction. So I want to build a contradiction to this statement here, and I want to build some g. I want to construct a function g that maps the natural numbers 1 through n plus 1 injectively into n. Okay, and how do I do that? Well, I've already got a map that takes all of the natural numbers and maps them to n. So I can just take the first n plus 1 of those and call that my function g. Okay, so that's what I'm going to do. So let me just write that out. F restricted to n plus 1 maps n plus 1 to n, n, and is injective. Okay, and so that's the way that I would phrase what you were saying there, is that n is actually bigger, okay, in the sense that it actually contains the n plus 1. That's my notion of being bigger. Okay. It's injective, which contradicts 5.1.9. Okay, that's a little bit rough write up, but any questions about that one? Should I write it more cleanly, or is it clear how all the steps go here? Okay, so once again, if we go through the logic, we decide what we're going to try to prove. We're going to try to prove that there is no injective map, right? So there's no bijective map. And then we decide which facts we already know that we're going to make use of. And then we decide the approach. The approach is going to be contradiction. So we assume that this one exists. And then we get a contradiction to the fact that we already knew. Okay, that's the structure. Okay, so let's try another one. So so they just get more and more complicated and interesting actually as we go along. So sorry, I don't know what's going off, but I do want to go back to my picture here. So so far we've proven these, and we proved this one. So we still have this one, and actually these two are going to come from the same proof. Okay, so let's do this one next. So I'm going to argue that the natural numbers here have a different cardinality from the interval 0 to 1. Okay, so let me write that one down over here. So theorem, this is 5.2.4. And it says that the natural numbers are inequivalent to the interval 0, 1. Okay, and so let me run through the proof plan here. Okay, so in the past, what we did in the previous two cases was we showed that we have a picture. Actually, which one is bigger? Is that clear? No. So in this case over here, it was pretty clear, right? That the integers are infinite. So they're bigger than the set, than this finite set. But over on this side, which one is bigger? Are there more natural numbers or are there more real numbers? Yeah, 0 to 1, that's the bigger one, right? So this is the big one. And so what we expect is that there would be, so over here, what we did is we found that there were no injective maps from the big one to the small one. So we would expect that there were no injective maps here, but we'd also expect there are no surjective maps here. And this is gonna be the easier thing to prove this time, is that there are no surjective maps. So that's the one we're gonna aim for, all right? So there does not exist a map F from the natural numbers to 0, 1, which is onto. Okay, and so the plan is we're going to choose any F, which is a map from N to 0, 1, and find something that it misses, okay? So find something that shows that it's not onto. Okay, so assume that F is such a map, any map from the natural numbers to 0, 1, and find X not in the image of F. Okay, so if we can do that, then we're done, right? That makes sense. And here is the clever trick for doing that. Called the diagonalization trick. Okay, so it goes as follows. So remember, that's our plan. We've got a map F, and we're trying to build a function, an element of the real numbers that we miss, okay? And so it goes as follows. So consider the decimal expansion of each of our images of elements of n. So consider decimal expansions of each f of n, and write a sub n for the nth digit of the decimal expansion of F of n. And the diagonalization and the tricky bit is the fact that these two n's are the same, right? This is what makes it diagonal. Okay, so there was no reason to be thinking about those being the same, but we are. So let me just draw a little picture of this. So let's say F of 1, F of 2, F of 3. So these are all going to be real numbers between 0 and 1. And I can write out their decimal expansions. So I have something like 0.32154.555112, et cetera. And so they're just some decimal expansions. Right, so that's what they look like. And the A's are supposed to be the first digit of the first one, second digit of the second one, third digit of the third one. So these are my A's, are these things that I've circled, okay? So A1 is equal to 3. A2 is equal to 5, A3 is equal to 6, A4 is equal to 5, A5 is equal to 5, etc. Is the notation clear? It's an odd thing to do, but that's what I have done, okay? All right, and now I want to find a number that's not on my list, okay? And so the trick is, if it's trick to be not on the list, well, to make sure that it's not in that first element, all I have to do is make sure that its first digit is not 3, and then I'm set. And for it not to be this one, I just have to make sure its second digit's not 5. And then I have to make sure its third digit's not 6. And its fourth digit is not 5. So I just want to make them different from all of those. So let's do that. So then we'll choose B sub n different from A sub n, e.g. If so B sub n is equal to, let's say it's 5, if A n is different from 5, and 3 if AN is equal to 5. Okay, so then I have B1, B2, B3, B4, B5. And they're just either 3 or 5. And let's see, this one's gonna be 5, 3. Okay, so whatever they are, they're different from the other ones. Okay, and then finally, check B, which will be equal to point B1, B2, B3, is not in the image of F. So, e.g., up above, it would be point 5, 3, 5, 3, 3. Okay, it's kind of complicated. Any question about the structure? So that's kind of the plan. Okay, so then let me just try writing it up. So proof of Okay, so if we look at the plan here, so we're going to use we're going to assume that there exists such a map, and we're going to show that it's not onto. Okay, and so then we'll be done that there exists no onto map, since we're going to say for all maps F, they're not onto. That's the plan. So so assume F is a map from n to 0, 1, okay? And let's see, so what do we do over here? So we wrote an for the nth digit of fn. So write an for the nth digit of f of n. Okay, and choose B and different from A N. Okay, and then we'll write B equal to with digits B N. And now I just want to check that B is not in the image of F, and then I'll be done. So claim B is not in the image of F. So F is not onto. All right. Right, so now let's check through that. So so let's see, for a contradiction. Assume that f of m is equal to b. A sub m is equal to b sub m. And we have already that a sub m is different from b sub m, which is a contradiction. Okay. Any questions about that? So it's fairly short to write up once you start writing it up. But the picture is a little well. Anyway, it's quite clever, this diagonalization argument of Cantor's. Okay, no question. All right, then I want to do one more such proof, one more example of a non-equivalence of two sets. Okay, so, and that's the last one that, again, very clever, but it's the last one we're gonna prove. And it's, actually, these are kind of the main ones. And this is theorem 4.3. And it says that if we have any set, then it and its power set have different cardinalities. Okay, so. So proof ideas here. So first, let's just try to understand what that's talking about. So with a finite set, is it clear that that's true? So if A has, say, n elements in it, then how many elements does the power set of A have?
2 to the n.
Exactly, right, 2 to the n. And 2 to the n is never equal to n. The ones to check, of course, are 0 and 1, make sure it works there, and then it's pretty clear after that. So e.g., the empty set has cardinality 0, and the power set of the empty set has cardinality 2 to the 0, which is 1, which is different from 0, etc. So if I take the singleton 1, it has size 1, and this power set, it's got the empty set and the whole thing, so 2. So that's so in general, this is different from n here. In fact, it's bigger, right? So again, just as before, it's nice to know which one you're going to think of as bigger. And this is going to, oops, this one is going to be the bigger set, right? So this is always bigger than that. Okay, and so that's kind of the idea, is that we expect it to be bigger. So then the logic is going to be much like what we did a second ago over here. So here we found that this set, the continuum, was supposed to be bigger than, if not, than the natural numbers. And so what we did was we wrote down, so, right, we chose any f and showed that it was not onto. Okay, so we're gonna try the same thing. We're gonna take any f from the little one to the big one and try to show that it's not onto. Okay, so that's going to be our plan. So for any F, mapping the smaller set, so that's going to be our A to the power set. So each element of A I'm going to give a set to. Oh, yeah, no, you can do either one. Actually, maybe I'll start doing that. They're no different, and maybe it's clearer if I put in the parentheses so that it's clear that this is power set of. Yeah, you can do it either way. Either way is fine. Yeah. Okay. We'll try to show that F must not be onto, just like we did over here. We found something that it couldn't hit, and so we're going to try to do the same thing. F is not onto, and therefore not a bijection. Okay, that's the plan. And now, just like over here, we now is the tricky bit. So we have to do something clever to figure out what this number is that it didn't hit. And over here, we're going to have to do something clever to figure out which subset of A we're not going to hit. Okay, so we're going to choose some F, and then we're going to try to find some subset that it gives us that we don't hit. All right, and that's the tricky bit. And so indicate the trick. All right, so I'm going to try to build a set, and this is quite clever, but so it's B is equal to, so we're given our function F, and I'm going to try to build now a set B. And it's defined to be the set of all elements of A, so it's supposed to be some subset of A, and it's those so that when I take F, I do not contain it. So let me write that out. So A, which is an element of A, is not an element of F of A. And what kind of thing is F of A? So little a is an element of A. And what about little f of A? Is the notation clear? So I'm considering a map that goes from A to the power set of A, right? And so an element of the power set of A is, what is an element of the power set?
It would be another set, right?
It's another set, and specifically a subset of A. That's right, that's another set, that's right. And so so this one is a subset of A. And this one is an element of A. So it makes sense to ask whether it's an element, and sometimes it is and sometimes it isn't. Okay, so for example, if I try to build a map, F mapping 1, 2, 3 to the power set of 1, 2, 3, then, you know, F of 1 goes to some set. So maybe it's a 1, 2, and F of 2 goes to some set. Maybe it just goes to the singleton 3, and F of 3 goes to some set. Maybe it's all three of them. Okay, so that would be such a map. And it's not on 2, which is what we expected. Okay, and so what is B here? Is that clear? It should be some subset of 1, 2, and 3. So we just have to check each one. So is 1 in B or not in B? Let me try that one myself. So, and then you can try the other two. So what am I supposed to do? I'm supposed to look at 1 here and look at whether it's contained in F of 1. Well, here's 1 and here's F of 1 and it is contained, and therefore it's not in B, right? So 1 is not there. So what about 2?
So would 2 be in B?
Yes, exactly. So okay. People follow that. 2 is in B, right? Because when I look at F of 2, it's this set, and that set does not contain 2. Okay, is that true? So two is in B. And then what about the only other element here, three? No, exactly, it's not. Okay, and so there's two, and the key here is that this set B is not in the image of F. And that's true here in our example, right? Here's the image of F. It's got the set 1, 2, the set 3, and the set 1, 2, 3. And this is a different set, right? Which is not in that image, right? So that's the plan. All right. So then the proof is going to be pretty similar to what we had over here in 5.2.4. So let's just try writing it up and see where that gets us. So proof of So again, we're going to assume that we have map F taking A to its power set. Okay, just like over here. And then we're going to do the trick. So down here, this trick had to do with this diagonalization. This time it's this trick here, okay? So write B for exactly what's written back over here, the set of all elements of A, so that little a is not contained in F of little a. Okay, that's our trick. All right, and now we want to do what we did over here. I'm gonna claim that this B is not in the image of F. So F is not on T. Therefore not bijective, and we're done. And we will be done. I start to prove the claim. So I guess I should have written that up here. All right, that's what that is there. All right, so next we're going to do the proof of claim. And then we'll be done. So is it clear from the logic that as soon as we prove this claim, we are done, right? Once we found that this B is not in the image, then the function was not onto, and we are done, okay? Okay, so let's see. So why is this B not in the image? All right, well, let's see. So there are two possibilities, right? So when so for contradiction, let's assume that B is in the image and see what I can say about the element that lands there, just like I did up here. For contradiction, I'm going to assume that we have something that lands on B. So let's do that. So for contradiction, assume that F of A is equal to B. All right. Okay, and so so what do we have? So we have something whose image is B. And there are two possibilities, and let's just do, so now we're gonna do cases and contradictions. All right, so two cases. All right, so case one, A is in B, and case two, it's not. So case one, A, A is in B, or two, A is not in B. All right, and we just want to consider each of these cases separately and get a contradiction in each case. So in case one, what do we have? So then if A is in F of A, okay, but if A is in F of A, then what can I say about its containment in B? This is really the key.
Then it's not in B.
Exactly. So does everyone see that? If A is contained in, is an element here of F of A, that by definition, it's not in B. That was how we chose B. Exactly so that this line right here works. This is the key line in the whole proof. A is not in B. Okay, that's the key. And but of course, B is equal to F of A, so that's a contradiction. Okay, did everyone see what happened there? That is the tricky part and the subtle part of this whole proof, that point there. Okay, then case two will be very similar. So in case two, A is not in F of A. Now is it clear to people? What can I say about its containment in B if I go back up here to this definition? So this time we have A is not in F of A.
So in this case, it would be in B.
Correct. So this time it must be in B, and that's again, because that's our contradiction. So A is in B, which again, of course, is still equal to F of A. So then we're done. Okay, so any questions about that? Okay, I'll just briefly scroll up my things, but there we are. So just to summarize, to show that things are equivalent, we go to a lot of work and build maps, right? So there we build these bijections. To show that they're not equivalent, that's the type of argument that we've been making now. We say if there were a map, then it couldn't be onto or it couldn't be injective. And that can be kind of tricky, but we get these sort of remarkable facts that there are lots of different cardinalities. So there are all the finite ones, of course. This is infinite, but these two infinities are different. And furthermore, we can get yet another infinity by taking the subset of all subsets of that of the interval from 0 to 1. And is it clear that I can keep going? So I could just keep going. So if I take the interval 0, 1, this is then not equivalent to the power set of the interval from 0 to 1, which is not equivalent to the power set of the power set of the interval from 0 to 1. And I can just keep going. Right, so you get this infinite list of infinite sets, and it's kind of it's a whole field actually. People study these gigantic sets. Okay, anyway, so I am done with the material for the course, and on Friday I will be reviewing. I put up some problems, some old exams on the website, which are there now. And I will turn off the recording and stick around for questions.